primary application of the gospel, primary focus of the gospel is on that work when he took a body for you. The author is not saying this to make us turn to guilt. What is his goal in this? He wants you to appreciate this truth for all that it's worth and enjoy it.
That is indeed what we're looking at, the enjoyment of the Lord, and it all can be found in an understanding of law and gospel. There is so much confusion surrounding this truth, and today, as we turn back to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, we explore this dynamic of law and gospel, and how it can really liberate us in our understanding and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Chris in today's program.
It's easy to see failure after failure after failure. And if you're a Christian who's growing in sanctification, this is a big problem. If you take that in too much, and if you're too introspective, and you're constantly dwelling on all of the failures that you have been as a father, as a worshiper of God, all the sins that you have continued to struggle with and against, if you take that in, you know you can have serious anxiety. I don't know if any of you have had serious anxiety attacks where it feels like you're having a heart attack. A sense of impending doom is what they'll even describe this in sort of physical terms for people in doctor's will. It's the sense of an anxiety or panic attack is driven by a sense of impending doom. One of the worst experiences for the child of God is the guilt that we can take in and that can cause this kind of distress when our eyes are taken off of Jesus. It's very real. It's much more real than maybe we talk about and that some of you constantly go through. I even speak to many older widows who struggle with this all the way to the end. So it's a big problem. You'll notice this. Utter that sense of doom and guilt is strong. And those who have experienced it, those who have experienced real anxiety over something like this, know what I'm talking about. Maybe the greatest thing that we take for granted in the Christian life is something that happens every Sunday. And the great truth that I'm able to read from Romans chapter 8. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. It's gone. There is no more condemnation. He already said this in the last chapter. What the blood of Christ has actually accomplished for you is, this is what he intends for us. This is what he wants us to understand. And again, you live these things with understanding. That's why we have to give ourselves to the ministry of the word. What the blood of Christ has actually accomplished for you is the cleansing of your conscience from all dead works. How many bad dead works have been in your life? What is the blessing of being set free from that? Really? What is the blessing of faith and the knowledge that God is not going to hold any of them against you? But more importantly, the knowledge that they have actually been dealt with. That's the fundamental difference of the new covenant. If you don't get that, you'll miss what the author is doing here. When we have the assurance of pardon every Sunday, you know, I can't not come back to this in a worship service. It is a special, that's why I want to tell people who want to go and be entertained to death in worship. Do you know what you're missing when you miss the reading of the law and the assurance of pardon? You're missing something crucial to the Christian life in order to serve yourself. After the reading of the law and the confession of sin, what is announced to us? Something that could never be said by a sacrifice of an animal. something that could have never been made sure by the blood of bulls and goats. All of your sins are expiated. All of your sins are wiped away. All of your sins God has forgiven. When you sat on the other side of the cross, all of these were tokens and veils that were given to tell you what would happen when Jesus comes. But it hadn't happened. The authors of the New Testament are amazed by the time in which we live. The Old Testament prophets longing to see what we see. This is the heart of it. And I think what happens is precisely what happened here. When we take our eyes off of this great truth, that there is an actual cleansing of conscience in the Christian ministry, there is actual forgiveness that is given when we take our eyes off of Jesus and we fall back to looking at us and looking at performance, it makes everything uncertain. How does that work for the Christian life? How does that work for sanctification? It doesn't. You know what it makes you do? It makes you not want to get up. It makes you live under the cloud that God is always displeased with you and that God really deep down is ready to judge you. And if you live like that, my guess is we're always doing it to ourselves. We're always doing it to ourselves, and then comes the anxiety. Fundamental difference here that he's working with. You see how special New Covenant ministry is. This is what he's impressing on us. God is saying what he has said all throughout the New Testament. Think of the great truth I was able to read this morning for the assurance of pardon. By grace, children, you've been saved. Listen to me. Listen to me. By grace, you've been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It's my gift to you. What do you do with a gift? I want to pay back. No, you don't. You don't do that to God. You receive it by faith. And the intention is joy. When the man was lower down in Mark 2, remember he had had the infirmities and he didn't even have to say anything. Jesus could look right into his heart and see his burden and his guilt. All the Pharisees are standing there waiting to see what Jesus would do. Remember what he did? Son, forgiven are all your sins. That was because Jesus had come. And the Pharisees stood there and said, blasphemy. Only God can do that. And they're right. Only God can do that. Who was standing there? Well, that's what the author now explains. Verse 5. Therefore, this is a big therefore. Why is it therefore? It's therefore, when he came into the world, what does he do here? The author grabs Psalm 40. Listen to it. Telling us that when David spoke in Psalm 40, he was an inferior application to him. David knew exactly who he was talking about. What David saw is that Psalm 40, when that was inspired, were ultimately the words on Jesus' lips. And these were his words. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. In other words, it wasn't the Old Testament sacrifices and the law of sacrifice and offerings that in the old arrangement, that was not the end game. That was not what God was after. What did he desire? Here it is. But a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. But a body you've prepared for me. And if you go on to read that psalm, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I don't hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. The author's mesmerized by that. The author of Hebrews is mesmerized by that. You think the Psalms aren't about Jesus? What was on Jesus' lips when he came was this. Was an acknowledgement that the old covenant order and the requirement for sacrifices and offerings was never the end game. That didn't please God. That didn't perfect worshipers. But the new covenant was all anticipated in Psalm 40 when Jesus in the incarnation would take a body to himself. Think about what we believe in the incarnation. That the eternal Son of God, who always was and always existed, assumed a human nature. He took a body. He added that body. Why? For you. He did that for you. That what? We might be sanctified through the offering of his body once and for all. There's no more repeat. What he's saying is that when Christ took a body as our high priest, and when he lived and when he died for us, we were completely set apart to him as holy. And all of the righteous requirements of whatever was intended in the Old Testament sacrificial system that demanded a perfect lamb without spot, that demanded perfection, was met and fulfilled in his body. What is so special about Psalm 40 is that what is being displayed was the eternal covenant that the Father and the Son had made. This is a discussion of that eternal counsel between the Father and the Son. Do you know in eternity it was the plan for you were ever even born? The Father took delight in not setting up the sacrificial system so that we'd find our righteousness in it, but that it would all point to, in the fullness of time, his Son would come and take a body and come down to this earth in our place and bear the judgment for our sins and fulfill the law, which the author is saying, that's the reality of everything the sacrificial offering system was talking about. The shadow to reality. Priests never took away sins. They had to continually do this for themselves. But this man, this man, after he had offered a sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? He went up and sat down at the right hand of the Father, now waiting until every knee shall bow, every enemy being put under his feet. Judgment day is coming. I have to say tonight, and this is the challenge, and I say this to myself, ministries have to make this really clear. I don't think ministries are making this clear today. And again, I speak to myself. I don't want us to miss the implication of this. Why is it so important? Look at the end of 9 again. Just as man is destined to die once and after that the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will again appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So much confusion today on this. We have well-meaning pastors who are confusing the law and the gospel, telling us that the gospel is the good news of us keeping the law. Now maybe there's an application to it in the more broader sense we can talk about. But some might talk about the gospel that includes all of salvation. But we need to be really clear here. We need to be really clear here. Paul, when he speaks of the gospel, when Hebrews speaks of the gospel, the primary thing he wants us to appreciate is not our works, but his. This is what 1 Corinthians 15 is saying to us. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel when I preach to you, which you also received and in which you stand. Is this talking about our works? Here's what it's talking about. By which you're saved, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the day, according to the scriptures. This is how you stand, he says. So primary application of the gospel, primary focus of the gospel is on that work when he took a body for you. The author is not saying this to make us turn to guilt. What is his goal in this? He wants you to appreciate this truth for all that it's worth and enjoy it. You know, we talk about glorifying God and enjoying God. You will most enjoy God when you really, really appreciate this. The basis of his body, the basis of his work for you. Listen to what he says here. You can't miss this verse. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's one of those verses that you just stop and you meditate on and you don't leave. Notice it. He has perfected those forever. When he took a body and when he kept the law and when he laid down his life, what the author is mesmerized with, what the author wants us focused on, especially in the way that he even uses the verb here as a completed action, as a present benefit for you forever, to say this, it's done. It's accomplished. It's complete. His offering has perfected you. In other words, you have received all you need to stand before God, who are presently in this life being sanctified. See, that affects sanctification. You're not going to be sanctified until you appreciate this. You're not going to want sanctification until you appreciate this. It's the sacrifice on the cross. It means the judgment is completely behind you. The judgment's over. You stand in grace. When in Colossians he was dealing with people struggling with sins, it was this great truth that he laid out in front of them of the truth of their right standing before God. All judgment has been taken so that you won't have to face it. Why would we tamper with this? Why would we run away from this? Maybe the fear that I think deeply embedded in people is that it's going to produce careless, licentious people if you preach too much grace like this. Will it really? Will it really? A God who's been this good to you and given you everything and has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, is committed to sanctification. You think the gospel produces that kind of carelessness in people? What will produce the carelessness is treating people as if they never have done enough to be right with God as believers. That's what will produce it. In the sacrifice of Christ, the judgment's taken away. When you feel that anxiety, when you struggle with your sin, you need to remember what the new covenant has accomplished. By the one sacrifice of his life, all your sins have been dealt with forever. He doesn't have to continually do that. It's done. There's a reason why we react against the Roman Catholic Mass. This is where people get nervous. You know what they say in the Mass? Christ is re-sacrificed. We should be repudiate. That's a terrible idea. It's complete. It's fulfilled. He wants you to enjoy this. And so he concludes by saying this, that in this new covenant, notice this, not the old covenant. We've been studying that in Joshua. In the new covenant, the time you get to enjoy, the fulfillment of the time you live, he quotes Hebrews again. He quotes Jeremiah 31 again to make this point. How many times does he need to do it? This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I'll write them. And he adds this. Here's the aim of what he wanted to get to, because he singles it out. And I will remember their sins no more. I'm not remembering your sins anymore. There is remission. There is cleansing. It is done. It is finished. And when he sees you, and when he looks upon you, it is in that perfect righteousness of Jesus. And when you believe the gospel, you're never more righteous with him, never than the day that you first received it. That's the beauty of the good news of the Christian gospel that he wants us to live in, that he wants us to enjoy. Christ didn't go through all of this for us to look anywhere else, especially to find perfection somewhere else. In him, you have it. In him, you have what the gospel is intended to accomplish. You have the reality. The apostle says to pastors, "Woe to you, pastor, if you don't preach it." What would be the pastor's response? Woe to you if you don't believe it.
The broadcast is simply entitled Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Closing out today's broadcast, we are mindful of the fact that questions or comments may exist after listening to the broadcast today. If that is the case, we look forward to corresponding with you. Please feel free to do so through our website, or if you wish, simply give us a call. The website that you can find us at is agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Our phone number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You will also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for links to those platforms that you like to follow. You will also be able to listen in on past programs you might have missed. Again, it's all found at agradio.org. And then we're looking for those who got an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio. AG Radio is listener supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life and others spiritually. So if you are someone who sees the value of this broadcast for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large. Whether it's a one-time gift or reoccurring, it all sustains this program right here on this radio station. So would you consider that as you reach out to us at agradio.org or by calling 888-504-8805. You're also welcome to write to us. You can send your donation to Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Well, to close out our time together today, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again for a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this great, wonderful truth of Christ in our place, taking a body to fulfill all righteousness so that we would be declared righteous, perfect before your eyes because of his life, his death, resurrection. We need to constantly set this before us because we fail so much. And even in our failures, you tell us to constantly come back to you. And when we sin, to confess our sins, and that you're faithful, and that you're just to cleanse us again over and over and over. Cleanse us from all sin. Thank you for being so faithful to maintain this ministry. Let us believe it. And of course, O Lord, since you remember our sins no more, may we go forward this week, hating sin all the more and striving for righteousness as those who've been set free by the one sacrifice of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, tomorrow we turn our attention to chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, why the church attendance matters. That's tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.